Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. So much to talk about. Let's see what has happened since we spoke last, since Real Science Friday. Well, in Washington, D.C., I'm going to try to do a number of news stories in quick succession here. In Washington, D.C., the Republicans took a last-minute vote Friday night that kept Planned Parenthood's doors open. So Planned Parenthood did not have to shut down on Friday night at midnight. That was a fear. The last-minute vote Friday night kept Planned Parenthood's doors open. They cut funding to some government programs, but the tough deal that they struck with the Democrats kept the nation's largest abortion chain fully funded. Let's see, the IRS, what else happened since Real Science Friday? Oh, yes. Tax day is approaching, and CNN proved that they are the only media outlet that can report the possible shutdown of the IRS as bad news. That's only on CNN. But fear not, the Republican deal kept not only Planned Parenthood's doors open, but funding for the continued IRS harassment of taxpayers. That didn't even miss a beat. What else? The national debt, significant news on the national debt. Apparently, though, there was real progress on the deficit. During last week's budget negotiations, during just last week, the national debt increased $56 billion. But don't worry, a $38 billion spending reduction was negotiated for the whole year. So that'll pay what? At least a few weeks worth of the interest on the national debt. As the debt increased last week, just for the week. If we took the entire reduction, if we accounted it just for that one week, it still went up. The whole year's reduction. What's the latest news on Obama's birth certificate and his Social Security number? It turns out, I'm asking my studio audience, have you guys heard about this? It turns out that more history has come to light regarding Barack Obama's Social Security number, which we've passed along to you previously. That was a number issued in Connecticut. He's got a Connecticut Social Security number. That's how they issue them, different number ranges based on which state you were born in or apply in, and he's never lived in Connecticut. Well, Obama registered for Selective Service as a teenager using his Social Security number that he uses today, and it's a number that has now been discovered was issued originally to a guy from Connecticut. A guy from Connecticut, he's now known, and he later died, apparently in Hawaii, where Barack Obama started using this recently deceased man's number illegally. So why would he or his family get him a Social Security number illegally? Why would they do that? Maybe just lazy, maybe because he couldn't get a Social Security number as an American citizen. This is interesting, and we'll keep you informed of the developments. A speed limit in Texas. Good news out of Texas. Now, remember what Janet El Reno used to say? She used to say, it's not just a bad idea, it's the law. Remember she used to say that? It's not just a bad idea, it's the law. And she said it in that kind of voice. It's not just a bad idea, it's the law. I always wondered if she was Chelsea's father. That wouldn't make sense. Texas, it looks like Texas is going to raise their maximum speed limit on the highway from 80 miles per hour to 85. That's good news because the natural speed limit should be what the speed limit is, the natural speed limit. Well, what's the natural speed limit? Well, the speed should be determined by the type and condition of the road. That's how you determine a speed limit, so that as you drive down the street, you get different bureaucrats who are in charge, and you're on a highway. You're on a highway, and you go through a town that you didn't even know there was a town there, and it's a speed trap. They lower the speed limit artificially to increase their revenues. And so that should be not allowed, of course. And so there's a natural speed limit which people can drive at safely. So safety should be the factor in determining the speed limit, not environmental psychosis. Environmental psychosis should not be the factor for determining the speed limit. Like, you know, people with mental illness where they're obsessed about the environment and they want everyone to drive slowly. That should not be the factor. The factor should be safety. All right, what else? Oh, this is an encouraging story. You know, missile defense, we've long supported missile defense programs here on Bob and Yurt Live. Many years ago, I worked for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company on the Apache attack helicopter as a software engineer in the simulation department, which was a lot of fun. Liberals generally are against an anti-missile defense system, and that's because it was never sold to them properly. We just have to tell liberals that very few endangered species could survive a direct nuclear hit. And so if we tell them that, then they'd be happy to support a missile shield. You can't tell them that it would save human beings. It would save children, right? You can't tell them that. That doesn't move them. But tell them that it would save endangered species, and they'd probably support. In fact, they would fund continued U.S. missile defense research out of the EPA's own budget. You just got to manipulate them a little bit. Just confuse them. Well, in Israel, they have a new Iron Dome interceptor program for rockets. It's a rocket defense system. The Palestinians have, in the last weeks, being emboldened by all the Arab protests, the Muslim protests, and their part of the world. The Palestinians have begun shooting rockets into Israel, dozens and dozens of rockets, and Israel's been working for years on rolling out a new, you know, third generation type anti-rocket system. And sure enough, yesterday, Israel stated that their Iron Dome interceptor had successfully protected two cities from Palestinian rockets just in the last few days. And other countries, of course, are expressing interest, and so Israel might be increasing their revenue by selling these systems. Liberals would be against this generally, in theory. And even though this is a defensive system, liberals would oppose it. Just a knee-jerk reaction to take the wrong side on every issue. Pretty much regardless of what the issue is, just knee-jerk reaction. So don't be surprised if you hear that liberals are upset that Israel could defend themselves against incoming rockets launched from not even officials within the West Bank, but just from freelancers shooting rockets off into Israel. And you'll find that liberals, that's just a prediction, liberals will not like the defensive rocket shield, the Iron Dome. Just so cool. All right, so we're going through these news stories one at a time. There's a big story, a press release out from American Right to Life about a new profile published, actually two new profiles. I'm at ChristianNewsWire.com, and here's Father Frank Pavone and Ann Coulter profiled. So two new profiles released at ProLifeProfiles.com, sponsored by American Right to Life. American Right to Life giving a pro-life math lesson. All right, that's interesting. Let's continue here through this news of the world. Iceland, we've got a few headlines here from Iceland, and there are three in succession. Here's the first one. Voters in Iceland, that would be Icelanders, they voted no against negotiating a deal to repay Britain. Remember the collapse of one of their national banks back a few years ago? The Ice Save Bank? Well, that's one story out of Iceland's capital city there. The Icelanders voted no against negotiating a deal to repay Britain billions of dollars. So here's the second headline. The next story, this is from the London Press. Britain is taking Iceland to court. That's not a surprise, right? To recover billions of dollars lost in that 2008 bank failure. And according to the London Telegraph, they are demanding repayment of every penny. All right. And so now here's the next headline in the series. It isn't out yet, but it'll probably be out sometime. So this is where we report the news in advance. Something like Reykjavik foreclosed, Iceland repossessed. So we'll find out what goes on there. You know, speaking of our national debt, if you rank 128 of the world's countries by their national debt as a percentage of their annual production, what they produce in a year, their GDP, Iceland comes in sixth highest. Wow, out of 128 countries, with a national debt of far more than their entire gross domestic product. In fact, they owe about 125% of their GDP in their national debt. That's seriously out of control. They rank sixth out of 128. Imagine the ones that rank higher. News of the weird, the two countries that are the lowest and the highest of that ranking. So you got 128 countries. The two that are the lowest and the highest on national debt to GDP are the two countries that have been most in the news, Libya and Japan. Libya is at the very bottom of the list. And that just seems weird to me. Other things being equal, that would be good. This is one instance when coming in dead last is a good thing. According to the CIA Factbook, as of 2010, Libya had the lowest national debt compared to GDP at just 3%. 3% of their GDP is what they owed, the government owed. And the highest, that distinction goes to, let's see, drum roll, please. That distinction goes to Japan, which has a national debt of more than double their annual gross domestic product. More than double. That's just, they're way out of control. Way, way, way out of control. That is, the government owes more than what every single person in the country of Japan produces in 2 years. In fact, their national debt is 225% of their GDP. So then when you get in a crisis like they're currently in, well, when you're out of money, you're out of money. It's rough to react in a responsible way when you're broke. And so they're living on the edge out there. National debt, 225% of their GDP. And as a result, just like Obama is running out of money, in Japan, they have such severe economic problems that long ago they set their benchmark interest rate. Remember how low Japan's interest rate has been? 0%. Long time ago, they set it there in the 90s, late 90s. And yet they're still far from digging out of the hole they've dug themselves into. And I think about liberals and, you know, conservatives here at Bob and Yurt Live, we expose the liberal in the conservative. That's one of the things we do. We expose the liberal in the conservative. Liberals and some conservatives over these many decades, as Japan has been subsidizing their automobile manufacturing and their high-tech industry, microprocessors and so on. Once in a while, a caller would dial up this program and complain that the Japanese government is subsidizing their industry, and they'd say that that's unfair. It's unfair. Look what the Japanese government is doing. And I would agree, you know, it is unfair, but it's unfair to the Japanese people, not to us. It's not unfair to us. It's unfair to the Japanese people. And to illustrate, think about that for a moment. If you're going to buy a car and the Japanese government announced, let's say, let's do this arbitrarily with the easy numbers. Let's say they said every family in Japan was going to chip in one penny for every 100 cars that we buy from them. Then would you complain about that? What kind of a discount would that give us? Let's see. We got to figure out if this would be a fair or an unfair subsidy. So Japan, how many families would that be if every family chipped in one penny toward Americans buying cars? Let's see. Their population is what? About a third of the U.S.? About a third. And I think they have smaller family sizes than we do. So they probably have about 40, 50 million households in Japan. And by the way, in Japan, like a number of countries, their population is actually decreasing because of abortion. They kill their own children and so on. You know, the world's jihad against children is causing a demographic crisis in not only Japan, but in many European countries. In China, where there's this twisted lack of women for men to marry because of tens of millions of girls being killed in China because of their outlawing of siblings. They outlawed having a brother or a sister decades ago with a one-child policy, and that led to sex selection abortion. You know about all that, right? And in fact, same thing in India. In India, I remember the UN reporting a few years ago that every day in India, 7,000 fewer girls are born than boys. Every day. It's similar to the demographic crisis in China. Then these kids grow up and there's a shortage of wives. How's that for wise liberal planning? They like to pride themselves on their ability to plan communities and plan economies and all. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons that socialist and communist governments do so badly is because nobody is smart enough to run an economy. Nobody's smart enough to do that. What, Obama's smart enough? Obama's smart enough to run an economy? He doesn't even know how to read his Nobel Peace Prize. He doesn't even know what it's for. If he knew what it's for, he probably wouldn't have gotten into another war. So back to the Japanese government saying, okay, every family in Japan is going to chip in one penny for every 100 cars that we buy from them. So how much would you complain? And if they've got about 50 million households, that would do, what would that do? That would give us about $5,000 off of the purchase of your next car. So would you complain about that? If my quick estimates are in the ballpark, and you were going out to buy a new car, and the people of Japan sent you a check, and they said, here's $5,000 if you want to buy a car from us. So then who would this be unfair toward? You or the Japanese families that have paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to subsidize manufacturing of products they sell to us? So it's unfair to them. you go out to buy gasoline and to fill up your tank is going to cost, say, $72. And somebody says, well, this country over here, they'll subsidize that. They'll give you $12 off. And you say, that's not fair to me. That's not fair. I want to pay full price. So it's not fair. It's not fair to the Japanese people who have been forced to pay higher taxes and to take on this burden of this crushing national debt. Eventually, the chickens come home to roost. Eventually. The laws of economics are the laws of God. Right? Do not steal. That's one of God's laws. Do not murder. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. So one way of looking at all this is that you can't break God's law. That's one way of looking at it. Of course, you break God's law, you murder, you steal, you commit adultery, you never ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, you never trust in his death and resurrection. And so when you die, and latest study, 10 out of 10 people die, latest study, this just in, 10 out of 10 die. So then you go to meet your maker, and there is the record of your life and all the people you have hurt, including yourself and including God, and you never really cared enough to ask God to forgive you, to thank Jesus Christ for what you've done. And so it turns out that God's law is still in full force. And you're the one who was broken. You're broken on God's law, but the law remains in full effect. The world is guilty under God's law. So the laws of economics are just like all the other laws of God. You can't really get away with breaking them. They remain and you're broken. So Japan, if liberals are all worried, oh, look at Japan, look at what they're doing. This is not fair. They're subsidizing their industry. Oh, in other words, they're enabling us to have a higher standard of living and they're footing the bill. So that's unwise economics for Japan. And now they're in this devastating crisis from an earthquake and then a tsunami and then their nuclear power plant catastrophe. They have a very hard time dealing with it. And of course they do, because they've been focusing on things that are immoral, that are wrong, that are not only unwise economically, but that will destroy their families and their future. They've been eating the future that their children should have. They've been eating it, just like Obama has been trying to get us to do. But I'm all excited after the news of the weekend. I'm really excited now because the Republicans in the budget negotiations took a last-minute vote Friday night, and they kept Planned Parenthood open. Everybody thought Planned Parenthood was maybe going to shut down. And the whole country was worried about Planned Parenthood shutting down. And the last-minute Friday night vote that the Republicans hammered out a deal kept Planned Parenthood's doors open. So things are good, no? Things are good. Let's see, what else? This is just going through the news. And it's interesting to look at the news, that poor woman that keeps eating her couch. It's a true story. This woman in Florida has been diagnosed with a rare disorder called PICA, P-I-C-A, PICA. She's got PICA disease, and it happens to women who are pregnant who are not getting proper nutrition, not to all such women. It's rare. Happens to pregnant women who are not getting their proper nutrition and to children and toddlers who are not getting proper nutrition, and especially during times of crisis. And they find that they get this obsession with eating something that's non-nutritious. And you may have seen stories over the decades of people who eat dirt. A lot of people have eaten dirt over the decades, like a lot of dirt, to where in some places they got like roadside stands selling dirt for people to eat. I'm not making it up. Batteries, people who eat batteries. The story, if you just Google the woman who eats her couch, she has eaten from Bradenton, Florida. She has eaten 7 couches in the last few years. She goes out shopping and she opens the cushions and she tears off a tiny bit of foam to see if it's the kind she likes. This is a true story. We're broken. We're not evolving and getting better. We're broken. So if evolution were true, would human beings, Homo sapiens, would we have evolved a brain that we don't use 90% of its capacity? Charles Darwin, neo-Darwinism, would say that's not possible. You can't evolve way more capacity than what natural selection would reward you for reproduction, because here's what you need. You need to reproduce. You need eyesight. You need hearing. You need a brain, but you don't need a brain with 90% excess capacity. We have that, right? We use a fraction of our mental capability. And so that shows we're not getting better. We're breaking down. Things are getting so bad, some people are eating their couches. The poor woman. Poor woman. So anyway, when you go through the news and you look at what's happening and you don't get caught up in the hype of, say, partisan rah-rah cheerleading Republicans, you get a more balanced view of what's happening in the world. And is it discouraging? Is it discouraging that we're breaking down genetically as human beings? In some respect, it's discouraging, but it confirms God's word that God made us perfect, and because of sin, then disease and suffering and eventually death comes. But if we trust in Jesus Christ, the curse is reversed and we can live forever. So discouraging or hopeful? Depends on who you believe. I believe the Lord. Hey, our website is kgov.com.